Our sermon today is based on a reading from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, which tells us about the advent of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. God, today we celebrate the arrival of the Holy Spirit into our lives. We thank you for sending us the Comforter who opens our hearts to seek your will and empowers us to follow your way. I think you get the gist of the progression of my sermons this year, that we will be going through all the stages of growing, sowing, and knowing, from seeding to planting to care tending, even fertilizing, all the way to harvesting. And I don't think I'm jumping the gun to talk today about harvesting. After all, Pentecost began as a celebration of the harvest and later transformed into not only the birthday of the church, but also a foretelling of the great harvest that will come at the end of the age. There are plenty of different aspects of Pentecost to focus a sermon on, from the rush of the wind that filled the house where the disciples were all gathered, to the divided tongues as a fire that rested on everyone, to the way the disciples began to speak in other languages, and the way they all ran outside to spread the good news about Jesus Christ, the risen Messiah. But why were there so many people in Jerusalem at that time? The scripture says there were devout Jews from every people under heaven living there, as well as Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. They were there because Pentecost was one of the biggest festivals of the year, and everybody wanted to be in Jerusalem for it. I want to share with you the history of Pentecost, how it originated, and how it evolved. Pentecost was an old, old festival. It was an important Jewish festival before it became a Christian festival. It had been set in place not long after the Israelites left Egypt for the Promised Land. It was one of three pilgrimage festivals that were celebrated in Jerusalem. The word Pentecost comes from the Greek word Pentecostos, which means the 50th day. This is because Pentecost fell on the 50th day after the celebration of the presentation of the barley sheaf that was held during the Passover observance. So Pentecost was 50 days after Passover. The celebration has several different names: the Festival of Weeks, the Harvest Feast, Harvest Home, First Fruits, the Day of the Sheaf, the Feast of the Ingathering, the Concluding Festival. Pentecost was a time for the people to gather and rejoice before God with their families and all their fellow Israelites. Deuteronomy 16, verses 9 through 12, lays out the basics for celebrating Pentecost. You shall begin to count the 7 weeks from the time the sickle is first put to the standing grain, in other words, after the barley harvest. Then you shall keep the festival of weeks to the Lord your God, contributing a freewill offering in proportion to the blessing that you have received from the Lord your God. Rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your sons and your daughters, your male and female slaves, the Levites resident in your towns, as well as the strangers, the orphans, and the widows who are among you, at the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. And this, of course, is Jerusalem. The scripture concludes, remember that you were a slave in Egypt and diligently observed these statutes. Part of the ritual of Pentecost involved bringing to God 2 loaves made from the first fruits of the wheat harvest and 2 lambs, which were offered as a peace offering. There was also a burnt offering of a young bull, 2 rams, 7 lambs, and a kid for a sin offering. Leviticus 23, verses 15 through 21 clarifies the instructions and injunctions about the celebration. From the day after the Sabbath, from the day on which you bring the sheaf of the elevation offering, you shall count 7 full weeks. You shall count until the day after the seventh Sabbath, 50 days. Then you shall present an offering of new grain to the Lord. You shall bring from your settlements 2 loaves of bread as an elevation offering, each made of 2/10 of an ephah. What's an elevation offering? It's also called a wave offering, and apparently it consisted of simply waving the loaves of bread in front of the altar of God. The passage continues, the loaves shall be of choice flour baked with leaven as first fruits to the Lord. You shall present with the bread 7 lambs a year old without blemish, 1 bull of the herd, and 2 rams. They shall be a burnt offering to the Lord, along with their grain offering and their drink offerings, an offering by fire of pleasing odor to the Lord. You shall also offer 1 male goat for a purification offering and 2 lambs a year old as a sacrifice of well-being. The priest shall raise them with the bread of the first fruits as an elevation offering before the Lord, together with the 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. On that same day, you shall make proclamation. You shall hold a holy convocation. You shall not work at your occupations. This is a statute forever in all your settlements throughout your generations. Essentially, Pentecost was a celebration and dedication of the wheat harvest to God as its giver. For good measure, here are the instructions as recorded in Numbers 28, 26 to 31. On the day of the first fruits, when you offer a grain offering of new grain to the Lord at your festival of weeks, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall not work at your occupations. You shall offer a burnt offering, a pleasing odor to the Lord, 2 young bulls, 1 ram, and 7 male lambs a year old. Their grain offering shall be of choice flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for each bull, 2/10 for the 1 ram, 1/10 for each of the 7 lambs, with 1 male goat to make atonement for you. In addition to the regular burnt offerings with its grain offering, you shall offer them and their drink offering. They shall be without blemish. So Pentecost started out as a feast of harvest, of reaping and binding. Everything was ready, as grown as it was going to be, and it was time to bring in the sheaves. Weeks meant the entire period of the grain harvest, from planting to harvest. In a land of pagans who believed in multiple gods who were in charge of multiple things, the Israelites were called to deliberately, intentionally, loudly, and proudly recognize and proclaim their one God, Yahweh, as the source of rain and grain and agricultural fertility. Nothing and no one else. Pentecost was a reminder of God's presence and power and provision. It was a day of solemn joy and thanksgiving. Is that an oxymoron? Solemn joy like jumbo shrimp? Perhaps holy joy is the better phrase to use, because it was still a celebration, although it was a reverent reminder that God is the one and only giver of all good things. And we must always acknowledge that God has blessed us in so many different ways. Sometime later, Pentecost transformed into a celebration of the giving of the law. That happened when Israel was no longer so agriculturally focused, when they didn't follow the rituals of wave offerings and sacrifices as stringently as they had before. Israelite tradition said 50 days after the people left Egypt, they received the law on Mount Sinai. So Pentecost became a celebration and remembrance of that moment. It involved fire and smoke as well. Exodus 19:18 tells us, "Now all of Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke, because the Lord had descended upon it in fire. The smoke went up like the smoke of a kiln, while the whole mountain shook violently." Then Moses went up on a mountain to meet God and received the law, the Ten Commandments, the tablet of the covenant. Pentecost segued from a celebration of God as the giver of grain to God as the giver of the law. But just as Jesus changed the Passover from a celebration of the night the Israelites escaped from Egypt and made it into a feast of remembrance of his death and sacrifice, so Pentecost changed. Everything before was over. Now comes the new day and a new way. Jesus' great sacrifice on the cross nullified the need for all the many sacrifices that the people formerly had to offer. Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophets and to give Pentecost a new meaning. God said in Jeremiah 31:33, "I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." This is the great mystery and majesty of Pentecost. The first celebration acknowledged the giving of literal law. The second acknowledged the giving of the spiritual law. The third celebration saw the advent of the Holy Spirit into our lives. The writer of Acts says the day of Pentecost had fully come. Jesus had promised to send his sad disciples a comforter, the Spirit of Truth. It was the right time for the Holy Spirit to arrive in the fullness of time. It was the right place in Jerusalem where Jesus had been sacrificed 50 days before, and when just about everyone was there. The timing was perfect, as God's timing always is. The festival called for two lambs to be given as peace offerings, and surely Jesus Christ, as the Lamb of God, was exactly that, an offering of peace to God for us. And Jesus was the bread of life that was waved as an offering before God to proclaim God's power and God's provision. The first fruits that Pentecost day were all the people who heard the disciples proclaiming about God and who later listened to Peter's sermon and became believers. All kinds of people heard Peter and the others speaking in their own languages, and they fell under their spell, just as it was foretold in Zechariah 2, 10 and 11. Sing and rejoice, O daughter Zion, for I will come and dwell in your midst, says the Lord. Many nations shall join themselves to the Lord on that day and shall be my people, and I will dwell in your midst, and you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. They were all the first fruits of Christ's new church. Like the loaves and sheaves of old, they were presented to God, and all of them were accepted. Whoever they were, wherever they came from, the Spirit fell on them all, men and women alike. No one of the 120 gathered was left out. Pentecost teaches several things. It teaches patience and action. The 120 disciples were told to gather and wait for the Spirit to come to them. And when the Spirit came, they were so filled and thrilled and so moved that they ran out in the street to shout and share the good news of Jesus Christ, sent by God to begin the great harvest of souls for God's glory. The promise was kept. The gift of the Holy Spirit was worth waiting for. The Spirit comforts and compels us, leads us and loves us, fulfills us and fortifies us. It's a spirit of inclusion and infusion. It is a spirit of divinity and dignity. It is a spirit that empowers and emboldens and inflames and inspires our hearts to action. As believers, the Spirit is ours for the taking and the using. We must not hoard it or hide it. The disciples left that safe, cozy room where they gathered of one accord and ran out in the streets to give the gift of the Word of God to everyone. The power of the Holy Spirit was impossible to resist. They had to insist on sharing it. The world harvest had begun. The new believers were the new grain offering. Pentecost was always a feast for all. As Moses told the people, it was for them and their sons and their daughters, their male and female slaves, the Levite resident in their towns, as well as the strangers, the orphans, and the widows who were among them. And Peter quoted the passage in Joel as the new Pentecost took place. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. In other words, it's a festival of inclusion. It's a harvest for the world, a harvest of fire and flame. We still wait for the one great Pentecost, the harvest festival, when God will gather all God's people into the garden of life and the never-ending festival begins. In the meantime, we have the Holy Spirit to comfort us and walk with us and challenge us and make what happened to those first disciples also happen to us. They got outside and boldly proclaimed the works of God. May the Spirit push us outside our comfortable boundaries and send us out into the streets or wherever the Spirit needs us to be, proclaiming and exclaiming and naming God as the great giver and healer and Jesus Christ as the Lord and Master of the harvest. We remember Jesus Christ as the seed that died and was buried and then brought forth much fruit. And we are the ministers of fire and flame, sent forth in Jesus' name, calling everyone's attention to the word of God, sent forth to gather the scattered wheat and prepare for the initiation and the completion of the holy harvest. Let us pray. Lord, through the infusion of the Holy Spirit, may we be on fire for you. Help us to seek and share the Spirit with all those who need what's been called an overdose of the Holy Ghost. Make us ripe and ready for your harvest yet to be fulfilled. Come again, Holy Spirit, into our midst with your power and your purity. Amen.